It's time once again to rightly divide the word of truth, and we're in lesson 25. And lesson 25 today, we're going to look at continue our look in Matthew chapter 7. And we left off with verse 23 last lesson, but this lesson here is starting with verse 24. And as we go down through 24 to 27, we're going to be reading, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Notice in that first verse, it says, "Therefore." There's a reason it's there, correct? It's because it started back here in 13. Okay, straight is great, straight gate, for wide is the gate, and the broad is the way, that type of thing. And it worked its way all the way down through there. But look, notice that must be hearers and doers of his sayings as described in this verse. But where else have you noticed that there's a book that people want to take you to be hearers and doers? What's that? The book of James, right? They said, hey, see, not only you how to be hearers, you got to do it. You got to show your faith. You got to work for your faith. You got to work for your salvation. But this is the same thing as James chapter 1 and verse and chapter 2. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's James 1:22. Now, if you know anything about the book of James, where is it written? Okay, ages come. It's written to a group of believers that's going to be going through some tribulations and wrath over here, that they're going to need that doctrine. They're going to need to understand what God is doing. Okay? The hearer and doer of the work is the wise man. You think about this. Okay? Your hearing and your doing is the wise man. Is that what it said? Okay? Which builds on the rock. I wonder what rock that is. Peter?
No, sir.
Okay. How do you know it's Jesus Christ? How do you know it's not a man? Okay. The rock is Jesus Christ, by the way. And the hearer who's not also a doer of work is an unwise man. Okay. They're going to be taking this doctrine, this constitution, over to here to be able to see and do some things. People are going to have to see that work in their life in order to say, hey, God's with them. But where's he build the house up on? Okay, wait a minute, let me ask you this. Who's not also a doer of work is an unwise man, which build his house upon the sand. Does that sound like a works program? You got to do this, and you got to do this in order to build this and this and this. If Christ is the rock, okay, it says, okay, let's go back to verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock." If Christ is a rock, who's the house? Okay, you say the church, you say we are, you say Israel. Who's he talking to here? Israel. Okay, very good. It's the house of Israel. That's the house. But they're building that foundation, that house upon what? A rock. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. And on your way to Hebrews, I'm going to say something about this rock. Okay, stop at Matthew 16 for a second and get 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Matthew 16. And we'll look at this again when we get to Matthew 16.
1 Corinthians
3. Matthew 16, verse 16. And Simon Peter, Matthew 16, 16. And Simon Peter announced and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? That's what he said. Matthew 16, 16. Verse 6 to 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Who got a revelation there? Peter did. Okay? He got a special revelation from God the Father to reveal something that who was Jesus Christ? Okay? And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we know there's people out there says, who is that rock in this verse? Peter. Okay? That's what they say, right? That's what they say. But that's not to be true. What did he say in verse 16? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, there's a group of people out there that will build their church upon a man. Now, you're in Matthew chapter 7, and he said, upon this, the house of Israel, the house will build upon a rock. Okay? So people's putting this together, like, okay, that's got to be Peter. He's foretelling Peter, whatever. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 5 says, Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos water, but God give the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that water, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together of God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God is given to me, a wise master builder. Now who's talking here? Paul. And now what's he saying? The grace of God is given to him as a what? Wise master builder. I have laid the foundation upon Peter, the rock, according to Matthew chapter 16, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed, now he buildeth thereon. Is that what that says? No. Look at the next verse. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He's the foundation for everything in the Bible. And I'm looking at this, I'm looking at Matthew 16, I'm looking at Matthew 7. How could anybody say that Peter is a rock, and upon this rock I'm building a church, and Paul's saying the foundation, there's no foundation that's laid that's not laid on who? Jesus Christ. Now, does that seem like a contradiction? Are there any contradictions in your Bible?
No.
If they are, you might as well go listen to whatever. There's no contradiction in your Bible. The foundation of the rock is Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. I know I went through that really fast, but think about what was just said there. Paul, according to the grace of God, he's dispensing the grace message from God. He's laying a foundation on who? Christ Jesus. That foundation is solid, rock, the cornerstone, whatever you want to call it. That's what you build that foundation on. Now, if you know about the mystery program, know about the prophetic program, Peter built a church upon a rock. Being who? Christ. Paul builds a church upon a rock being who?
Christ.
Okay? You know what a duplex looks like? Mm-hmm. That's what this is. There's no foundation that's not laid to lay Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. Peter's got a house. Paul's got a house. Two groups of people upon the same foundation. Much like, you know, people says there's one gospel. Well, there's not one gospel. Okay, and the roof is the Word of God. Okay, the Scriptures. That's the roof. That's what keeps us together. Okay, where did I say to go? Hebrews 3. So when people say Peter's the rock, blah, 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 take them to Paul. So, well, Paul didn't say nothing about Peter. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Starting with verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Who's that next word?
Christ Jesus.
Who's the apostle?
Christ Jesus.
Who's the high priest?
Christ Jesus.
Okay. Right? Chapter 3 of Hebrews. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now we're going to refer that back to the house over in Matthew. You with me? But look, let me ask you this, that first verse we read. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. This has to be us, right? Doesn't it? Some of you sitting there are like, I don't know how to answer you, preacher. Aren't you a holy brethren? Okay. Are we partakers of a heavenly calling? Okay, now you're starting to, oh, yeah, okay, now, okay.
We don't have a
Is Jesus Christ your apostle?
No.
No, he's our Savior.
He's your Savior. Is he your high priest? Okay. Is he going to be a high priest?
Yes.
Okay. He's a prophet, priest, and king. Right now, he's making intercession between you and the Father, right? So he is the high priest. Do you see how you get into problems with that? About Hebrews? Hebrews is a doctrinal book for the ages to come, if you will. Don't mind me using that term. They're going to use it to understand what God is doing. It's a transitional book. On the onslaught of this study, Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews are three books that you have to really understand when it comes to transitional truths. So, the apostle who wrote the book of Hebrews is who?
God.
God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Whose apostle was Christ? Israel's. Who was the apostle of our profession? Okay? Look at the verse. He says, the book of Hebrews was written to Hebrews, right? Okay? That wasn't hard to figure out, was it? Think about it. I know you're going, come on, Ed, give me a little bit something better than that. But look, what does Romans 15:8 says? That Jesus Christ was a minister to confirm the promise of the fathers. Okay? Christ Jesus, an apostle to who?
Israel.
Okay. Now, go back to Hebrews chapter. Wait a minute. Before you go there, stay there right there. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving for received for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs, with him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he looked, you got to see this now. For he looked for a, what's that word? City which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is who?
God.
Even Abraham. Okay, where was the heavenly city that Abraham was looking for? Okay, you say Jerusalem. Okay, where was it supposed to be located? I'll make that easier for you. On earth, okay, in Palestine. So Abraham was looking for a city, not in heaven, but what? Look at verse 10. Wait a minute, verse...
Which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Okay. Which is a heavenly city. Not in heaven. It's a heavenly city. When we had our conference down there, people could, man, this is like heaven on earth. You know, I'm like, no, it really not heaven on earth, but you know, it's heavenly. Okay? The God of heaven, okay? But well, let me say, but it was heavenly, built by God of heaven on earth. For who?
Israel
or Abraham. The God of heaven will come down here and set up a kingdom which will be a, not an earthly, but a heavenly kingdom. Okay, on earth. Okay, go back. We'll look at verse 14 for a second. Verse 14, same chapter. Maybe this will help you out. For we are made partakers of Christ if we're holding from the beginning of the confidence instead of until the end. Chapter 11, verse 14. Verse 16, for some, when they have heard, we're in Hebrews 3, but I want you back in 11 again. I'm sorry. My page flipped on me. Somebody's blowing my pages. We're in Hebrews 11, verse,
who's up first?
Hebrews 11, okay, verse 14. We just seen what Abraham got up and walked. And he's looking for a city, right? That God's going to build. Not in heaven, but where? On earth. Verse 14 of Hebrews 11, 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 16. But now they desire a better country that is at... And what? Heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared them a... Go back to Hebrews 3. See what they're looking for? They're looking for a city that God is going to build upon who? Himself. And the house of Israel is going to be there, and it's going to be a heavenly city. On where? Earth. Hebrews 3. Let's finish the Hebrews 3 right quick. We start out with verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of the profession, of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. What man? It has to be Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. More worthy than Moses? The glory of Moses? Insomuch as he who hath built the house have more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. Verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as the Son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast in confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm until the what? End. That's what he's teaching them over here, that you're going to have to hold fast and firm to the end. Okay? That's over there. In the tribulation. At the second coming, the day of the Lord, one's work will be tested. One will stand and the other will fall. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, if you're going to build something today spiritually, you build it up on who?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation. But to build that house, to get in that house, what walls of foundations, what walls of assurement, what doctrine are you going to build that house around? The grace doctrine, right? Okay? Pauline truths, okay? Lord Jesus Christ, He is the builder, He is the building. Didn't that Paul say that? We're God's building? Matthew chapter 7. The gist of chapter 7, verse 24, 25, 26, 27 is the fact that when it says the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You think about the ark. Did the winds blow? We're in chapter 7, verse 25. Did the winds blow and arrange the sin? And all of a sudden, did it harm that ark? Okay. But verse 26 says, "For every man that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened upon a foolish man which built his house upon the what?" The sand. You think about that. Jesus Christ is telling them, whoever heareth and not doeth, he's building his house upon the sand. You know, without putting too much, you think about the application of this for the day. What if you don't hear the word of God rightly divided, and if you don't build that foundation upon that good news, if you will, it's sinking sand. We talked about rewards and stuff today, about the works and stuff that you can do. You don't work for your salvation. I don't think in any dispensation you ever worked for your salvation. You believed God, it was counted for righteousness. Then once you believed God, you got in His program, what He's doing, whether it was the law, whether it was the grace, or whether it's kingdom, you got in it and you started working. We looked through those verses about fruit last lesson. You know, you're not to be a judge of fruit, but you should be a fruit inspector. Okay? You need to inspect that fruit, that what you're doing and what you're seeing. Verse 28-29. "And it came to pass when Jesus had heard these sayings," when Jesus had ended these sayings, "the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority and not as," what? "The scribes." Jesus teach the truth clearly and with authority. That's the living Word teaching the written Word. You got them both there. And He's teaching with authority where the scribes are like, you know, who is this guy? But they're the people that want to be unwise and build their house on the sand. Guess who they're going to listen to? The scribes. Okay? If you're building your house today, up on the spiritual house today, you better watch who you listen to, because you're going to build it up on, you'd rather listen to a man.
Shifting sand.
Okay? Then listen to the Word of God when you prepare how you build your house. Chapter 8, verse 1. "When He has come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow Him." This concludes the Sermon on the Mount, by the way. He started up going up on a mountain, chapter 5, 6, 7. He's on a mountain. Okay? He's got authority. Now He comes down from the mountain. And notice in chapter 5, when you notice in chapter 5, verse 1, seeing the multitudes, He went up. When He first seen the multitudes, He went up to the mountains. Now it says, when He come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed Him. He went up, and Matthew 8:1, when He come down, great multitudes followed. The book of Matthew, you got to remember this, is not written in chronological order. Okay? It's giving you some overview of what He's doing. It is not laid out as it is laid out as more evidence that Jesus Christ was Israel's Messiah. That's what the thing was. It's just hitting those points that Jesus is the Messiah, and they should recognize Him, because now in chapters 8, 9, and 10, Jesus is going about healing and performing miracles and signs, and the kingdom is at hand indeed, and was Israel's promised Redeemer. This is what He's going to give to them. Okay? You with me? He's up there. He's up on a mountain. A couple lessons ago, I thought about Moses. Moses goes up on a mountain, receives word from God, commandments from God. Okay? He's up there for 40 days or whatever. He comes down, He gives it to them. Now you're going to do this. Much like Lord Jesus Christ, He goes up on a mountain. He's given authority. He's given instruction. And then He comes down. Now He's going to be the worker. Now He's going to start performing. Look at verse 2 and 3. "And behold, there came a leopard and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The leper comes to worship him and asks him, doesn't he? The leper is a type of Israel in her defiant and sin condition. See, that leper went to God and said, okay, we understand who you are. Okay? And that's supposed to have been that apostate nation Israel. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Hold your finger there and go to Isaiah chapter 1. And they looking at Israel as a whole, as that sin-infested group of a nation that's supposed to have been, you know, understanding God's Word and doing that. And he's coming there to be healed. Isaiah 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is what? Faint. Verse 6. For the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and purifying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mortified with anointment. That's the nation of Israel's condition in God's eyes. They're infested. They're apostate. Okay? They're sinful. They're defiant. However, the nation did not come and ask the Lord, did they? To heal her like the leper did. But the leper was healed. Go to verse 4. Go to verse 4. Matthew 4 right quick. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 8, verse 4. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man. Now wait a minute now. If I just got healed from God Almighty, the Messiah of Israel, you think you're going to keep my mouth shut? He says, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the who? The priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for the testimony unto them. Jesus tells a helper, a leper to tell no man, but to go show the priest. In Leviticus, if you want to write this in a note, I'll read this to you unless you want to turn to it right quick. Leviticus chapter 14. Okay? Leviticus chapter 14, verse 3 and 4 says this. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean and cedar wood and scarlet hyssop. This is why he said when I cleaned you, healed you, you go tell the priest. Now why would he tell the priest? He could be the witness. Exactly. He's an authority there, is he not? He's the one that's supposed to been proclaiming that here's God Almighty. But what does it say to do? And offer the gift that Moses commanded for the testimony unto who? By going to the priest and telling him what happened, the priest should have known that Jesus was the Messiah. Okay? Because in the prophetic scriptures, it was written that lepers would be healed when the Messiah shows up. You know, you're talking about ignorant brethren. You know, today you look at the Messiah not showing up, but you want to be healed. And we know, you know, I'm not stepping on anybody's toes that's listening or, you know, anything like that. But the people that says they've been healed and cleansed, did you offer the two turtle doves under the law? You know, that's what I'm telling you, pick and choose these things. God says He told them to do that. Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for the things You've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.